I'd like to call to order this regularly scheduled Madison Lands Board of Education meeting. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Anikas?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mrs. Boyd?
Here.
Mr. Coburn?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please stand for the pledge allegiance.
And we have a student who will lead us tonight. It is Nicholas Furby, who is in grade 6.
Nicholas, if you come up here.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody signed up for public communication? So now we'll turn to section C, board work session.
And so for this section tonight, a few different things, but perhaps the main one, I thought it would be good for us to have some conversation on pay to participate and what direction we would like to go with that. As you know, I have sent you numbers on how it affected participation, and I also sent some numbers on what some area school districts are charging as well, so that we can make an informed decision. If you would like, we can certainly make a decision on this tonight. We could put a motion together and make a decision, or if you want some time to think about it, we can do that next month as well. But certainly tonight is an option, so no harm, no foul there. So, not sure who would like to speak, but you have the information that I sent, so what are your thoughts?
I can start. I think my feelings are well known on this. I've been opposed to pay to participate. If we don't need to do it, why would we continue to do it? When we did the budget reduction and put pay to participate in place, we put it in there as a temporary measure. So maybe it's time to put an end to it. With the understanding, of course, that in the future, we may have to bring that back.
I'll go next, you know, but I agree with Bob. I think that when we initially had the discussion about the pay to participate, it was a temporary fix, that we needed that X amount of dollars to fit with our overall reduction plan. But I, you know, thankfully, I the voters approved. The voters approved, you know, the levy. And I think that given our current financial, you know, situation, if we don't have to do it, I agree with Bob, I don't think we should do it. I wasn't in favor of it to begin with. I'm still not in favor of it. And again, I think it's just an unfair taxation, you know, on our parents. So I'm all in favor of eliminating it. You know, if we need to bring it up in fiscal year 2023, then I think we certainly can. But given our current forecast, I don't think we need to.
Sure. You may have to go to Mike, but I don't know.
I agree. I think that I saw hardships on the families. Mm-hmm. It was a change. We did it for the budgetary purpose, right, to get to a number that we needed to get to, right? Everybody gave, and I think we're at a new talking point for next year, and I think that we absolutely should revisit that, and I don't think that that's something, if it's not a necessity, and I don't see where that's going to make us have more or less athletes. I don't know that that's a driving factor, but I do think that those certain places, you have to correct me, who had their organizations raise money to pay for their funds, right?
Band.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that that leaves other organizations that maybe aren't as big or don't have a robust parent support system, they're unable to do that. So that also creates a little inequality, in my opinion, on what we're expecting from the parents to come up with to pay for. So, you know, I would also have that same sentiment.
I feel the same way. Agree with them with the knowledge that if we ever need to bring it back, we should have those discussions also. But we did not see, you know, just like the comment that you make, we did not see a drop in our enrollment. We actually had one more child, I think, sign up for sports, which is great. I think that's good from the parents and understanding where we were at the time when it came to budget. But moving forward, I mean, I'm okay with another year or so with nothing to pay to participate, but if we ever need to, I would like to put it back on the table.
And this is the intent that I had, is to discuss it, because if you remember during the budget reduction process, this was one specific thing that we said, let's see how it impacts our people, and we'll come back in a year and take a look at it. And, you know, that's exactly what we're doing. You know, I do see positives in it. You know, there are people that view that as kind of a baseline, us being good stewards of their money. You know, so, I mean, I take it very seriously, and I appreciated that our people, our parents, for that burden this last year. I'm comfortable with not doing it, with keeping a close eye on it. Because all of us agreed we want to invest more in sports, because yeah, that helps enrollment, which helps every part of what we do as Madison Plains. So, you know, it's something we got to always keep an eye on if we need it to help that investment be prudent, or if we're looking at budget reductions the next time when the five-year levy runs out or whatever. So I'm open to it. Maybe not wait until the end to potentially look at it again. Just make sure kind of every year is it something we want to look at. Yep. I don't want to jump around, because that's not fair to our people either. But we have limited options to raise money outside of the levy. So, you know, I think it's always something that we look at, you know, just to determine, does it make sense now? And I think what I'm hearing, the consensus is, it doesn't make sense now to continue it, at least in the next year. Is that?
Do we do it on a one-year basis? And
I think
so. That conversation, you know, next May. you know, God forbid nothing changes, you know, drastically on our five-year forecast, but
funding,
we don't know. I mean, with the state's new budget, it could go either way. So,
what do you think?
You know, I get to speak from one sandbox, so that's finances, and of course, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
The general fund couldn't do with what we took in on the participation fees, because it does help. We estimated to take in $25,000 this year as part of the budget reduction plan, and we took in 32. So we hit our mark, and then some. It is something that if you did want to try and supplement the athletic fund with general fund dollars, that would be something that would help to do that. You're correct, the state budget is up in the air right now. The best, you know, currently we're looking to be flat funded. But if the proposal that's in the House goes through, we could see a slight increase in the amount that we receive from the state. However, we do have additional costs, as you'll see, some costs that hit us this year in our five-year forecast. So does it solve all our problems? No. Does it help? Yeah, it helps. But that's where you get to make that recommendation. We can do without it if it's nice to have it. So.
Quick question, can we not vote to eliminate, but vote to suspend aid to participate?
What do you have in mind by that?
Well, as Corey said, you know, look at it again next May, so let's
suspend it for a year.
Well, the only thing I would add to that is that is the budget reduction plan committed to 1 year. So when I was doing the update for the forecast that I'm going to present, the October forecast only had it in there for 1 year. So when I updated, I left it. It's only in there for this year. It's not in the remainder of the forecast.
That's good.
Well, that's fine, but that won't affect the motion.
No, but I'm just saying it's not like that it's currently...
It's not there.
Not there for a five-year period that we would say we need to suspend it this year. It's only there for 1 year, and that's this year. So if anything, I would think you would vote to enact it each year.
So it wouldn't be an actual vote on it. If we don't take any action, it just goes away.
That's been a question of mine, and that's why we're having this discussion.
Because the budget reduction plan
that you passed, the board actually did pass the budget reduction plan that included the pay to participate, was for a 1 year approval.
I don't believe it just goes away, though. We voted to enact pay to participate.
Yeah, but under the budget reduction plan is what you're saying.
It was a one year.
Under that whole big plan.
And then we would revisit it.
I don't think it was on some.
Either keep it or
don't think it hurts to do a motion.
We can.
I would prefer it's clear one way or the other.
Okay.
Todd, can I ask you a follow-up question on what you stated about supplementing the athletic budget? So are you saying that respectively bands, athletics, whatever entity that is students are paying this fee for, could that money be directly transferred to those funds?
Yeah, that would be an alternative to eliminating.
Not saying I'm in favor of it.
Right, no, that would be an alternative to eliminating it altogether if the board wanted to direct those funds to the athletic fund or the band funds. Proportionately, you could do that. They're coming in right now as general fund monies.
Yeah.
So we can transfer from the general fund to any other fund, similar to how we do the farm rent.
Correct. Just for future use.
I guess, yeah, that's a good thing to think about, because we all decided we want to invest in sports, and how are we going to do that, you know? So, I mean, I guess it's...
Start of an investment, right.
Maybe if we looked at a reduced amount or something, I just think that each of those programs, I'm sure that, you know, band wouldn't mind having a couple extra $1,000 in the coffers, athletics, a couple extra, more than a couple, but, you know, right now it's $100 per student?
Yeah.
Per sport.
Do you know if other schools that have it, do they send it directly to the sports, or if they do the general fund like
I don't know if that was part of our athletic director's analysis or not. Now, just bear in mind, you know, I have to keep kind of reminding everybody that it does go to offset athletic costs that the general fund pays. The general fund pays for all the coaching supplementals to coach all of those sports. Now, the transportation costs to transport all those students.
Yeah.
So it currently does offset those costs.
I understand the thinking of having that money go directly to sports, but that could hinder us in the future if those funds are needed somewhere else.
We have that flexibility to.
Yeah, we have flexibility there. Have just the thought.
So no for the next fiscal year? School year?
I'd say we make a motion to suspend it for next year. We're going to do it in May.
Yeah, that's what
you want. Add that to a new line. Okay. We are voting to suspend it. We're voting to...
Suspended, reevaluated May 2020.
Right. Suspended for the 2019
school year. That's how I get to new business.
All right. So is there something else for board work session?
There is. Do we want to try to get this motion committed to writing so that we can vote on it later, or do we want to just tackle that at the end of the meeting?
Put it under a new agenda item.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. To suspend, pay to play.
Pay to participate.
Participate. Fees.
2019 to 2020.
Put revisit in there.
I would, yeah.
May.
All right. One other thing that we need to do, I communicated to you about, was the need to create have a special board meeting for the purpose of hiring our principal. This time of year, the hiring season is in full swing, and once we get somebody named, I would like to get them hired and to a contract as quickly as possible. We have first round interviews this week, tomorrow and Thursday actually, and then we have second round interviews on the 20th. If possible, I'd love to have a meeting on the week of May 27th. Obviously, May 27th will not work because that is Memorial Day. But we could do something. I'm available either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday evening that week. Or sometimes I've seen boards of education come together for a very quick meeting in the morning before everyone heads off to work. So that is something else that would be a possibility that would work with schedules. It's just all a matter of what you want to do. So
the 28th is really better for me.
Yeah.
Evening?
6 p.m. 6 p.m. on the 28th?
Sure.
That works.
Yeah, we have a communications committee meeting that night, but they are supposed to be wrapping up at 6, so that would be perfect.
Are you okay with running the meeting without me? I won't be here, and I'm fine with that.
It's for the limited purpose of naming the new principal.
I'll be on vacation at that time.
Enjoy.
So the 28th at 6 p.m.
Just for those listening at home, so it'll be on Tuesday, May 28th at 6 o'clock, meeting. Just a couple of other things that I wanted to mention as well that I'm looking for direction on. We have, as I've indicated before as well, we have about 20 young men signed up for soccer. And so the question becomes, do we want to offer a soccer team? We would need a coach to be able to do that. It is something that I would like to see us do. I think it would be good for our young people in our athletic program. So if the board is okay, I would like to move forward with the soccer team so I can have my athletic director begin to schedule games and all that. So okay, yep. So we can move forward there.
Sounds good.
What's a minimum number that we would have to have to field a team?
I don't know. I would ask my athletic director.
21?
12.
So.
And we have 20. Wow.
Yeah. So we're good on that. Another thing to consider too, I've been approached about the potential for hiring summer help. As we have often done, we've hired students to help us with the cleaning and things like that we do in the summer while the students and staff are gone. That is something that we would like to do. There is a variety of work that will keep our custodials and maintenance staff busy, and bringing those young people in to do some of the routine movement of desk and cleaning is very helpful. So are we okay if we move forward with that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. And then the last thing that I have for the board work session, actually, I'll move one thing that I had for later. I'll move this up here too. But the other thing I wanted to mention to you, one of the traditions that we have here at Madison Plains is we do an end-of-year staff luncheon. That luncheon would be a week from this coming Friday. And so I know one person has reached out to me already with a willingness to make a donation. Mr. Coburn is willing to do that. If you have any ideas about people or businesses that I could reach out to, I would be all ears to try to get some help to pay for this. I would really like, I think it's important for the morale of our staff that we do this. We're not looking to serve steak and lobster. You know, we're looking at barbecue, maybe some burgers and hot dogs or something along those lines, but nothing terribly fancy. But the price tag that I'm looking at right now to feed all of our staff is in the ballpark of about $1,500 or so. So any ideas about places to go to look for, donations, like I said, I'm all ears. So, but I would like to be able to move forward with this. I think it is something that is important for us to do. So, okay.
And it's next Friday, the 24th?
Yes, ma'am.
What time?
Yeah.
I would imagine we'll do it sometime around the noon hour. I don't know that we've committed to a particular time just yet, but sometime around the noon hour, I'm sure. So it will be a luncheon. So the final thing that I have for you, and I was going to mention this in my superintendent's report, but I think I'll just mention it now. Mr. O'Brinba, who was heading up the facilities assessment for us, he contacted me this afternoon. Today, we spoke this afternoon, and that work is nearly done. And so he is asking that we think about a time when we can get together here in the near future. He said possibly even as early as next week. Next week will not work for me. I have too many things going in the evenings next week. I can't fit anything else in. But something for us to think about as well in terms of scheduling something here soon. So that we can hear what the results of that assessment are. So can we maybe schedule that one via email? I can send out something.
You want to do it the 28th?
Yeah. But Todd is not going to be here.
So, and potentially, I mean, I don't know if we want to wait this long. I don't see any real harm, I guess, in waiting, but June 18th would be our regular June board meeting. We could maybe do it then. We're all gathered together as it is, so, and at that point, Todd is back.
Yeah.
So.
That's fine.
That works for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
Right. Do you want to come at 6 o'clock instead and do it before the meeting, or is it too much?
I am certainly open to that.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. I like that.
Yep.
So let me, I will contact Dan, and I will see if that will work for him.
Okay. And you'll let us know.
I will.
Sure.
I will.
And if we do that, just make sure we put that on the website, all the steps we need to take.
Yeah. Sure.
Mr. Heisler?
Yes.
Can I ask you a follow-up question in regards to, I know we briefly touched about, you've been doing the principal interviews for that process and for setting our meeting. I've had a couple of questions from folks. I know you've updated, kept us abreast of your process in doing this, but can you update the folks that possibly might be watching Facebook Live or in the audience that are questioning that? Just in regards to what are we doing? You know, it's very unfortunate. You know, I know later in the meeting we're going to be accepting the resignation of our current wonderful principal. I was very saddened, obviously, when I heard the news about it. It's a tremendous loss to Madison Plains, and I truly mean that. And so a lot of people are asking, you know, what's the process or what's being done to fill those, you know, big shoes that Mrs. Tice is leaving behind.
Sure.
And so if we can just give a brief update on that.
Absolutely, yeah. So the position was posted on various websites where people who are looking for administrative jobs would look. It was posted on the Ohio Department of Education website. It was posted on the OASSA website. It was posted internally, obviously. And so we have accepted applications. Our application window was open for between a week and 10 days. And so that it closed this past Friday at noon. So we have we had 13 applicants apply for the position. And so a paper screening has occurred. And so we have invited, kind of doing a broad sweep here for the first round of interviews, but we're bringing in tomorrow and Thursday, we're bringing in 8 people for first round interviews. There is a committee of staff members that have that will be gathering to interview these folks, and then there is there will be second round interviews this coming Monday on May 20th in the evening as well. And the interviews are in the evening. They will be in the high school in the media center. We have, I believe by my count, I think we have 9 people who are sitting on the committee for the first round, and then we will put together a team for the second round as well. And so those folks will sit in. We will, I'm looking to, as they say, cut the deck from this first round with 8 to probably 3 if it's close, maybe 4, but would prefer 3 to move through to the second round, and then we will go into a more in-depth interview in round 2. And then from there, we will see. Oftentimes, by that point in time, it is clear who the person is that we want, but if by chance it's not, we would have a third round, and then we'll go from there. So obviously, reference checks are a part of that. We have asked them to submit in addition to their resume and a letter of interest, we've asked them to submit transcripts and letters of recommendation as well. We've asked them to submit evidence of a clear criminal background check. We've asked them also to submit information about their licenses also that they have. So it is a rather standard but thorough process. It is the same process that we use to identify Ms. Tice, and hopefully we get a similar result this time around. So, but that is what we're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I believe you're ready for, I don't have anything else, so I think we're ready for approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make a motion. motion that the minutes of the April 16, 2019 regular meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Kober?
Abstain.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now move to Section E, student recognition.
And we have Mr. Miller with us this evening. And I don't think I saw Mr. Wallathan, but we have Mr. Miller. And he is here, and he is going to recognize our second semester safety patrol students from the elementary and the intermediate building.
This is our second semester safety patrol, some of our students. I want to recognize them this evening. This past weekend, they had the opportunity to, it was all first semester and semester students, safety patrol students, they had the opportunity to go to a Clippers game at discounted price tickets. It was AAA safety patrol night. They had the opportunity to parade around the field, and they were given a t-shirt.
Nice.
By the Clippers. So
very nice.
Thank Mr. Wallathan, said there were 8 students who attended. So this is our safety patrol for the second semester. So when I call your name, just step forward, please. Mackenzie Reeves. Some of them may not be here, so I'm going to step forward. Abby Lindsay. Paisley Rice. Which I don't think I saw her. Jillian Hammond. Luna Walker. I don't think I saw. Paint Mace. Aniston Cordell, she's not here either. Cammie Blythe, she's not here. Nick Furby, who led us in the pledge this evening. Bria Rhodes. Lila Coyle. And Eric Short. And this is our second semester safety patrol.
Nice.
In the 712 building, Ms. Tice is here, and she will be recognizing some young people as well.
Yeah, I have several different groups. The first one I'd like to recognize is our junior high boys track team. So if Mr. Hamilton, Coach Hamilton, and then any of his participants would like to come forward, I think we have one here. Our junior high boys track team finished first in the North OHC.
Yay.
Pole vaulter. He won pole vault. We were second overall in the OHC, but it was a difference of 10 points.
Yeah, if that. It was very, very close.
It was minimal, and if you know anything about track, 10 points is like nothing at all. So very proud of them. We had a lot of first and second place finishers, a lot of third. Isaiah was the one. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, just ultimately it was a great season, and I was very proud of our boys and girls team. It was a great two. We had about 10 more kids come out for the track team this year, so just continuing to grow the program, and we're definitely seeing the success from that. So it was a great season. Great
so job. Much kudos to this young men. The next group I'd like to recognize is our concert band. So I know Ms. Hostetler, Mr. Lawrence, and I know Alexa is here. Anybody else? If you guys like to step on up. I'm sure you've heard, we are very excited. Our concert band received superior ratings at state competition. Phenomenal job. I was able to go to the one prior to that. I wasn't able to make it to state. I was up at Finley at a graduation, but the one I went to was phenomenal. It was beautiful. And I know that they work very hard, and so I would like to recognize these folks for such an outstanding job. Alexa is a senior, so we are going to be graduating her this year, but I know we had a band meeting this evening, and it looked like a lot of bodies.
Yes, they're still there, so I'm going to check.
So I would like to recognize our concert band and their superior rate. Third person I'd like to recognize is Dalton Sparks, who's not here tonight, John Dalton Sparks. He will be our May Rotary Student of the Month, and I believe that luncheon is coming up very shortly. John is 14th in his class. He's played football for 4 years. He's been powerlifting for 3 years. He's part of our FFA, and he plans on going into the military. So if you happen to see Dalton, please congratulate him. Of course, Rotary is based on academic achievement, extracurricular achievement, but then also positive character. And Dalton really does display that. So if you get an opportunity, make sure you tell him good job. And then the last group that I'd like to recognize, and this kind of goes with my staff member that I'd really like to recognize as well. And so I'm gonna pull Alexa and then Miss Owomo up as well. And if they would step up. She had given the National French Exam. Alexa, in level 2A, finished 15th out of 17,200
wow.
students.
Ooh.
We also had another young man who I invited tonight, and he must not have been able to make it, Owen Blunt. He finished 19th. Out of 17,617 students in level 1A. And so not only do I want to commend those students, because that's phenomenal in itself, but also to Mrs. Owomo, who has done a phenomenal job preparing our students. She works very hard, sets high expectations like we like all of our teachers to do, and truly does a fantastic job, and we truly appreciate her as well as our students, so if we could recognize them as well.
Superintendent's report, but okay.
Who?
The teacher, Miss Owomo.
She's right there. She's up in the hallway right at the moment.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, someone can
do you want
her
to get her?
Mr. Hamilton's coming.
Oh.
Yeah, if Mr. President, if you don't mind, I can just do this right now. That way she can go.
Perform and compare with other students nationally. So these two students give me a lot of pride. Yeah. From the little known Madison Plains, we had 15 and 19. I'm very proud of them. Yeah, it's their hard work. Yeah. And I would also like to take this opportunity to thank Mrs. Grigsby. Yes, she really supported us financially to enable us to enroll students for that exam.
Nice.
So thank you very much, and a lot of thanks to my students who put in all the effort.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. Jay.
Is there a chance for me?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. For those of you who are students or families who are here for the student recognition, you are free and clear and are welcome to leave if you would like. If you want, you can stay for the meeting. But you are free and clear, so we will not be offended if you choose to go.
He wanted his story. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Those people thank you, too. They're falling out. Like, how did I say?
Yeah, you could come closer.
When you go to church, everyone starts at the back.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything for Section F, Department Reports, so we'll move to Section G, Board Committee Reports.
Actually, I did. Maybe they won't mind. You guys, do you mind if we skip your building report? Or do you want to give it?
I'm good.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Hope you're not offended.
Not at all. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
So we'll go to Section G, Board Committee Reports.
The first committee that I will report out is the Finance Committee, and I will leave that up to Mr. Mustang and Mr. Butts.
Thank you, Mr. Eisler. We did meet on the 13th, which just was yesterday. A couple of things that we discussed. We reviewed the income tax collection, updated the committee on the amount that actually came in for our first collection in April. It came in $51,000 more than what our estimate was. Mr. Eisler gave a quick overview of where we are in the negotiations process from a very high level. And then we reviewed the current forecast, the October forecast, and spoke to the potential changes that we might see tonight in that forecast. And then Courtney Bricker updated us on the goings-on in Mount Sterling, anything that might affect the district as far as new development or industry, anything like that. So it does sound like things are going in the right direction in Mount Sterling, which is good, because the better they do, the better we do, and vice versa. So, and then we scheduled our next meeting, which will be June 10th, always the second Monday of the month, at 5 o'clock, and we will have an update on the budget that will be presented for approval at the next June board meeting, and hopefully a negotiations update where we stand there. So, did I miss anything, Mr. Butts?
No, we did discuss the 10-year forecast.
Yes, Mr. Butts brought up the fact that wanted to know if we were still doing the 10-year forecast. That is one of the charges of the Finance Committee. It is something that has been set aside, not necessarily intentionally, but it has. It is something that we need to revisit and get back on a regular rotation for the 10-year forecast. Now that we have more of a clear direction of the district, we have our levy situation somewhat stabilized, because it is going to become important, especially with those levy timelines, which will fall at different times throughout the next few years, and how those will stack up against each other. They come into play also when other districts are running levies and other entities are running levies as well. So we want to plan to that. So that is a commitment that I made that we will make sure that we are addressing that. That is it.
The board Policy Committee met on Monday, May 6th. We continue to make progress on our policies, as is evidenced by the fact that you have some new ones before you this evening for our first reading. Our next meeting for the Policy Committee is Tuesday, June 11th at 5 o'clock here in the district meeting. Well, actually, yeah, we'll meet here in the district meeting room. Forgive me. Small, minor brain cramp. It happens from time to time. The Communications Committee did meet as well this month. They met on Tuesday, April 23rd, and they discussed some really exciting possibilities. We had a phone conference with I guess I'll say a video screen, with eSchoolView, the company that hosts our website, and had a very, what I thought, and I think most of the people in the room thought, was an exciting conversation about updating our website, and also at the same time being able to develop a school app, which would help us to be able to provide information to our parents and our guardians, and anyone who wants to follow Madison Plains, frankly. It was a good conversation. We're excited and are planning to move forward with the work. So that was very good. Our next Communications Committee meeting is Tuesday, May 28th at 5, right before the special board meeting that we scheduled. So that is coming up. And then our Facilities and Grounds Committee did not meet this month. With just everything that is going on with negotiations, we had a conflict with some different things, and so that group did not meet. They are scheduled to meet, though, on Tuesday, June 4th at 5 o'clock p.m. here in the district meeting room. And then the final group that I report out on is our Academic Advisory. They did not meet this month either, and their next meeting will be sometime in the fall when students and staff return, but we have not set that date yet. So in terms of committee reports, that is all I have.
Thank you. Next, we'll move to Section H, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll try to be fairly brief. Our financial statements, I'm not even going to bring it up. We are still at around 0%. We're flat on our expenditures at the same time of year as we were last year, so we're still continuing to do what we need to do there. That may cause some questions when I present the forecast as why some things may be presented as an increase in expenses. So I'll try to explain that during the forecast presentation, but it doesn't negate the fact that we're still doing what we need to be doing with the expenses, which is at this time we're essentially flat. We're at 0% of an increase. You can see where the yellow is there if you've reviewed it before too. This same time of year through April, we're at the same level of expenses that we were, so we haven't increased yet at all cumulative up through April. Now there could be expenses coming in May and June, they kind of throw things off a little bit, we'll see. But hopefully we stay relatively flat because that's the goal. And then our spending plan, we're a little below where the estimate was. I think that may have a little bit to do with some timing issues when people wait to start ordering here at the end of the year and start placing those orders. So we'll see how that comes around in May. But nothing that makes me think that our estimates are way off or anything. I think we're okay. But I'd like to reserve the majority of my time to go through the five-year forecast update. So unless you have any questions on the financial statements that have been presented, I'll answer those now. Okay. Five-year forecast. Again, this is just an update. We're required to file our five-year forecast at two times during the year, October, which next year will change to November for a November deadline. So that gives us a little more time next year. But then we're required to do at least one update. That update's to occur no later than May 31st. So that's why it's here for your approval tonight. You each have a copy. I'll bring it up on the screen as well. And I'm going to try to go through, because it's the same forecast and I highlighted the updates. So it's the same thing as October, and I just highlighted the updates, any changes that I've seen this year. You have the index. You have an executive summary. Those numbers have been updated with the revised 2019 forecast numbers that you're going to see throughout this report. So that is an updated amount there. As you can see, we still look to not deficit spend in 2020 and not deficit spend in 2021. We start to deficit spend again in 2022 and 2023, but still have a remaining ending balance of $2,393,000. Again, there's a visual of our balances, revenues in green, expenditures in the gray, and then our cash balance in orange. In 2020 and 2021, our cash balance actually grows, and then it starts to fall off a little bit again. Still a better position than we have been in. The next is our revenue line items and their individual percent increases. I'm not going to go through each one of those, but there's our pie chart. It still shows what a larger piece of the pie now income tax plays for the district when we get to 2023. That's a revenue stream that we did not have before, so it helps to diversify the district's revenue sources. General property tax, I updated the millage rates at the bottom of that sheet with our most up-to-date amounts and rates that we received from the county auditor. We came up off the floor ever so slightly. I think it was, you know, a tenth or something. Those changed a little bit, but we're still not at the 20 mil floor. We're above it. 1.17 effective mills. So effective millage rates were updated, forecast amounts are unchanged for those items. Again, tangible personal property tax, that's unchanged from October. The income tax, I did update that to reflect the actual amount we received in April. We won't receive our next installment until the next fiscal year in July. So that is all that we can expect to receive of the income tax this year. We had estimated $100,000. We took in $151,841. So that's really good for us.
Do you think that's based on people signing up at a rate higher than what you thought, or more income being generated throughout the district?
The income tax collection timeline that the Ohio Department of Taxation puts out gives you a range. And the average is more of what I went with. There's a high and a low where you can expect if you're, you know, a certain percentage of districts collected a higher rate during that time. So we just fell into one of those higher districts where we collected more than the average. All I budgeted for, though, was the average, not knowing what we received. So that helps. Our foundation funding that we received from the state, I have it at forecast amounts unchanged. Of course, the new budget is in the House, or it's in the Senate now. They made it, they are going with the governor's proposal as it stands right now, as opposed to the Cutt-Patterson plan. I've said it a couple times, but the Cutt-Patterson plan would have fixed school funding in the state for everybody, but it wouldn't have done anything for Madison Plains. We would have been one of around 69, 70 districts that would have been flat funded. So we wouldn't have seen any additional revenue. So the fact that they're going with the governor's proposal, which says we'll receive the same net funding we received last year, plus a certain amount for social services and wraparound services, student support services, that's what they're going with. And then the House one-upped it and followed that same model but added more dollars to it. So Madison Plains will be expecting to receive, I think it's and I don't want to say definitively, but it's about $130,000 more in 2020 and $170,000 more, I think, in 2021. So it does benefit Madison Plains, even though it doesn't help everybody else in the state as far as fixing school funding in the state of Ohio. So right now the Senate will go through, and they still say that there's a possibility that the Senate could revisit the Cutt-Patterson plan and want to go that route. Probably won't happen. They'll just modify, tweak what's before them right now. The thing that has been maintained, though, has been the, so far, has been the bus purchasing program, reinstituting the state bus purchasing program, which could allow us to receive up to $50,000 towards the purchase of a bus for buses that qualify. We have numerous buses that would qualify.
I was going to say, have they evaluated our fleet?
We've evaluated our
fleet. I know that.
Yeah.
One.
So basically, we would go from being able, we could go to being able to afford essentially twice as many buses as what we had previously planned, if that were to go through. So that's something, though, that again is not finalized. we have to wait and see. So for the purposes of this forecast and this update, it has to remain flat because nothing has been signed into law yet. The same holds true for the restricted grade grants and state grants and aid. That's our career tech and economically disadvantaged funding that we received through our foundation funding. That remains unchanged. I will say in the budgets that are in the House and the Senate now, there is more of a focus on economically disadvantaged students and pushing more resources towards those students. So. Property tax allocation, those amounts are unchanged. And here is an update. This is all other revenues. The highlighted amounts, we before that speak to the Mount Sterling Enterprise Zone Agreement that we have. We had expected to collect, we collected $115,000 in 2018 and then expected $45,000 in each year thereafter. This past year, due to amended reported payroll totals and looking back on what we should have collected, we actually received $101,285, so more than what we had expected. So we have updated with that. And then with the pay to participate, we had expected $25,000 annually, and we took in $32,247. So those are the two big updates in that section, and the forecast amounts have been updated with those. However, this line item also takes into account open enrollment that's coming into the district. That was not what we expected it to be. We missed the mark there by $39,892. Which seems like a lot, but honestly, that's just under seven students, you know, that aren't open enrolling in that we previously had expected to. So that number fell off, so we adjusted that as well. That flows through our state foundation funding. Here is where the tax anticipation note receipts are recorded. It's just highlighted. We received $1 million tax anticipation note. The $9,459 that you see in addition to that was our sale of assets that we had a few gov deals, surplus equipment, computer equipment, different things. Then we move to expenditures. So before we do that, does anybody have any questions on the revenues? Okay. The expenditures follow the same format. There's your percentage increases, and then the pieces of the pie, what makes up those amounts, personnel services, benefits and purchase services make up the largest part, almost entirely, of all our expenses. Again, most of our purchase service, or a great deal of them, are for payroll-like expenditures as well, whether it's speech therapy services or psychologist services. And even you'll see later on some bus student transportation services fall into that as well. Personnel services. I did have an update. The highlighted amount there you'll see, and I'll just read it. Salary amounts have been updated. Technology coordinator services are now being provided through a purchase service contract. Also, landscape services are now a salary and benefits expense in place of a purchase service contract. Forecast projections have been updated accordingly. However, salaries remain unchanged due to these offsetting changes. So they essentially offset each other. We're adding salary in one area and taking away in another, and same thing with purchase services. We're adding in one area and taking away in another for those two areas. So those remain somewhat, or mostly unchanged. And then the forecast amounts are unchanged for benefits as well. Again, there's offsetting amounts there for a couple of positions where they left their benefits or added benefits. I will say that we do have our insurance rate increases in. They do fall pretty close to within our projections. We're going to do what we can with our HRA amount to try and bring those down to where we need them to be. But it is still at the high end of our insurance. We on our main plan, it's a 12% increase. We think we can get it down by buying down our HRA amount. We were supposed to get a 22% increase. So I had to do a lot of talking to get us down to 12%, which is where we should be. So it wasn't like they're doing us a favor. It's where we should be. They have misprojected our increase to the tune of 22%. It should have been 12. So had to become the insurance expert in that example, and it was a good thing because there was no way we could afford a 22% increase.
I think it's fair to say, too, that there are districts that were told they were getting a 26% increase. years.
Mark Tolles is one of those.
Right.
And Sandy Woods at Tolles is not happy, and she has a right to be. So.
Wow.
We're watching that close with our participation with the EPC, with our insurance amounts. That may be something that has to change in the future. We don't know. Purchase service. Again, we talked about the salary pieces, but I'll kind of read through this because there are some additional items as well. Purchase service amounts have been updated. Technology coordinator services are now being provided through a purchase service contract. Also, landscape services are now a salary and benefits expense in place of a purchase service contract. That's the part you knew that we had already read. We also experienced an increase of $28,660 in student transportation due to a temporary driver shortage. We utilized First Student this year for our transportation contract expense more than what we have done in the past, more than what we'd expected to. We had drivers leave. We had a hard time filling those positions, and Kim Rogers did the best she could. And the important thing is we kept the students, you know, getting to school and getting to the events. And honestly, despite that, the transportation department has run much better this year than what it has in years past. And the reason I know that is because I don't hear anything. It's like when it's quiet, you know it's going well. Used to hear a lot coming from across the hall regarding transportation last year and previous years, and this year it's been relatively quiet. I think you'd agree.
I absolutely would, and I will say too, in Kim's defense, I mean, when she came in, we were a little short in terms of staff, and so and then we had some turnover, we lost some people, and so with that, then we did have to lean on First Student for a little bit, but First Student has not been used in the district in months. They have not been here in months. Kim worked very hard to go out and recruit drivers, so that has been done. We have some plans to try to get some more, but we are in much better shape. So that number is a little higher than what it was last year. There is no doubt. But First Student has not been driving for us for months. So
yeah, that's why I wanted to just note it's a temporary shortage. So it was a necessary evil, so to speak, to serve that purpose when we needed them. And to First Student's credit, you know, I appreciate them providing us that service because a lot of times it's hard to even nail them down to be able to provide it. So definitely appreciate that. Then here's the other piece to open enrollment. We're not winning on either end of open enrollment. Payments to other districts for students open enrolling outside of the district, that falls in this line item also. That increased $146,000 above initial estimates.
Wow.
So again, that's a number of students that are open enrolling, that are our kids that are open enrolling to other districts. So it could be that had they nowhere else to go, we could have expected growth in our district, but some maybe these students are choosing to go elsewhere right now. It's something that as our ADM continues to be flat or decline somewhat, we're going to have to start paying closer attention to, because for a time being, even though it was very slight, we were growing a little bit, and now we've started to fall off just a little bit. But those are the costs within this forecast that are hard to control and hard to predict,
mm-hmm.
And they add up quite a bit. You see that's $146,000, but divided by 6,000 students, that's not too many kids going a different direction. So that falls into there. Other increased costs in this area are due to an increase in required special education services. We have an increase in speech therapy costs. We've had an increase in our cooperative agreement that we have with the Madison-Champaign ESC. So there are some increased costs there that, again, special education, you don't get a whole lot of choice in how to pay for that. You just have to find a way to pay for it. Moving on to supplies and materials. Fortunately, this one has to do with transportation a little bit. Due to our aging bus fleet, transportation supply costs, including fuel, have increased approximately $69,000 over original estimates, and forecast amounts have been updating accordingly. These are a lot of expenditures that came in here towards the end of the year. Our buses, we started having some pretty significant problems. We had purchase orders in place, and we had Kim Rogers asking us for additional amounts to get these buses ready for inspection so that we could pass inspection. Fuel is another thing. We kind of cut it down to bare bones in our projections, and if that fluctuates, that has fluctuated obviously somewhat up. We've used more fuel this year than what we had projected. So that hits it too. Again, these older buses are less fuel efficient as well, so they cost us more in mileage and fuel than what a newer bus would, which again is why the state is putting more money towards bus purchase, hopefully. Right now it's in process. So it could save us money not only in purchasing a bus outright, but it could save us operating costs if they're more efficient units, more efficient buses, which they would be by far. Capital outlay, again, the budget reduction plan said to remove capital outlay from the forecast from the general fund. I stayed with that. I figure if we run into a need from the PI fund, we'll start to address it at that time. But we've made it this long without it. And until we have more clear direction on facilities and other items, I don't see the need in putting a burden back on the general fund for capital outlay expenses. That was the last direction, really, that I was given by the board. I'm just going to stick with it unless you guys want to start seeing money going towards capital projects out of the operating funds. Okay. We're on the same page. This is the other side of the coin with our tax anticipation note. This is where the repayment of that falls. You have $1 million in principal and $6,720 in interest. As you can see, we've never had that before. That's a good thing. We don't hope to have it again, which is also a good thing. But that is where it shows up in the forecast. So if you recall, you know, that's the net effect to our operating dollars was $6,720 we spent to get by. So, other objects, county auditor and treasurer fees, unchanged. Total other financing uses, this is where we hadn't projected. We had initially thought maybe the farm rent would stay with the general fund this year. And the board made the decision then to transfer that out to the athletic fund. So that's where that falls, that transfer out. It's $20,000. And then this is the comparison. Of course, the comparison from 2018, those numbers are final, so that doesn't change. That will change then next year. Those numbers will become 2019 numbers. And we'll do the comparison of what we had forecasted and what the numbers actually came in finalized for 19. So that'll be in the October forecast. However, the 2019 comparison, we do compare what we had in the original forecast for October 2018 to what we have now. So this can kind of highlight where the changes were. If you look to the fourth column from the left, the amount of difference previous versus current, you see those changes. For instance, in income tax, it's a $51,000 increase over what we had originally projected. And then it's mainly due to the tax anticipation. We had a 7.9% increase in revenues. That's deceiving because that's mainly $1 million we received for the tax anticipation. That's why you saw those revenues spike so high. Also, we had the increase in fees and payments collected, whether it was from participation fees or the Mount Sterling Enterprise Zone Agreement. Those were amounts that increased. On the expenditure side, you see purchase services was our largest increase. Outside of the tax anticipation note payments, along with supplies and materials, and we kind of spoke to the whys with the transportation costs and the increased special ed costs and, you know, some of those other items that we mentioned previously. And then there was a decreased ending balance due primarily to increased purchase service costs, student transportation, open enrollment out, special ed, et cetera. So that kind of sums it up. And then there's your actual forecast, which it's there, and it's also a separate copy because I realized you couldn't really read that very well in that document. So you have a separate copy printed out as well. You see our ending balance after the budget reserve and everything goes to $1.7 million at the end of the 5 years. That number was a little higher, of course, but after we walked through all those increases, it brings it down somewhat. Now, I hope to be able to come back to you in October and that I was overly concerned about some of these things because we're doing so much better, I think, in a lot of these areas where we have reduced costs that it may come out that we still stay flat and we still meet our goal. but I, these changes did occur, and so the ones that I knew happened, I put in there. There are still amounts in there that are encumbered that we may not hit all of those purchase orders, may not fill all those amounts, so we could still come in. I don't know. I'm going to wait and see. But I'd rather be prepared and walk through if we spend everything that we've encumbered and we have these increases, this is how it would walk through the forecast. So that's why it decreased somewhat. Our ADM, again, I you know, speak to the fact that our ADM has gone down somewhat. So we are showing a trend where we're flat or slightly declining on our average daily membership. So that is the updated May 5-year forecast. Before you have any questions. Okay. That is all that I have for my report.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items H4 through H5.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now move to Section I, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two of the items I was going to discuss in my superintendent's report are already done, so that's good. The first section that we have here for you, though, below what would have been just some general talking points, are approval of policy and governance items. As noted earlier, you have a set of policies before you for a second reading and a final reading, and then you have a set of policies before you for an initial reading.
Yeah. Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items J2 through J3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items K2 through K16.
You need a second. I'll second it, and then I have a question.
Discussion?
Two questions. Two things, actually. Question and then a statement. One is a question on how's come two of the contracts that we're awarding tonight for the athletic director and the foods, or the athletic director is a 3-year contract, food service coordinator is a 2-year contract. Maintenance and transportation are both 3 years. How's come food service is only a 2 and not a 3?
Well, when I was considering that with the coordinators, she just had a little less experience. The other two people have been in the roles a little bit longer, and so I felt like a longer contract was warranted. That really is the only thing.
Okay.
And I'm not saying she's doing a bad job. It's just the other two people have been in their roles. The other two coordinators have been in the roles longer.
Because the other two obviously have only been here for a year, so, and I know Mrs. Allen has been, I think, a long-term employee for the district before she got the coordinator position. So
just not in this role.
Just not in this role. So I was just questioning why she got a lesser contract than the others.
Yeah.
The other thing is a statement in regards to, and I started earlier in the meeting, the resignation for Mrs. Tice. I know that she's here. I just want to publicly state that you know, I congratulate you on your new position. It is a tremendous loss for Madison Plains. Mrs. Tice came to the district, I felt, when we needed her most. And from the outside looking in, I think that you were very successful in the changes that she made to our junior high and high school. I know anytime I talk to any staff, everyone loved her. I talked to parents, everyone loved her, which says a lot about her as a person and also as a principal for our district. So I said earlier, it's big shoes to fill, and I hope that committee for both first and second round think long and hard. We've got a lot of momentum. in that building, to Mrs. Tice's credit, and I hope that the new person takes that momentum and continues moving forward with it. And so I congratulate you, we'll miss you, and you know, thank you for everything that you've done.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approves business items L2 through L6.
Discussion?
Oh, who seconded? I'll second that.
You got it, too?
Yep, I did.
So discussion? Sorry. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations: $2,000 from an anonymous donor to the MP football program for grass seed.
Second.
Discussion. I know it's not on here, probably would be next month, but we're working with Seed Consultants, which is one of the very good companies as far as donating to Madison Plains. Athletic director's been working with Stu Yensel, a friend of mine there, and he's going to make a donation soon. So hopefully we'll have that to present to you next month. But I always like to thank Sea Consultants and all of our people that donate every chance we get. Right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Any new agenda items?
Mr. President, I would like to make a motion that we suspend pay to participate fees school year 2019 through 2020, revisiting that May 20th of next year, 2020.
Second.
Discussion. Obviously, this is a follow-up from our board work session conversation. All right, roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next, we'll move to Section O, Executive Session. I move that we enter to executive session at 8:14 p.m. for the purpose of... for negotiation. Is it Section 1? Okay. Section 1... second, so the four says
Section four.
I'm sorry. So yeah, Section 3, conferences with an attorney. Section 4, preparing for conducting or reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees. Basically, to prepare for negotiations.
Section one,
to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employer official, for the investigation charges of complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated official. Are you asking that related to the negotiation?
I'm not asking for it. I thought I heard, so I was asking if somebody said.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Section one.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
All right, so our next meeting is the special board meeting on May 28th at 6 p.m. here in the district meeting room. And then the next regularly scheduled meeting is June 18th at 7 p.m. here at the district meeting room. There'll be no action taken after the executive session.
6 p.m.
Correct. 6 p.m. on the
June 18th.
Oh, the June one as well. That's right. I apologize. Both meetings, both the one on the 28th and on the 18th of June, will be at 6 p.m., kind of aiming for our regular part of a regular meeting starting at 7 p.m. We'll have a meeting start at 6 p.m. related to the facilities commission meeting. All right. further action after the executive session. We're now in executive session.